Welcome to the sound of the start of Masters Weekend 2024, which is, of course, completely irrelevant to the NTT20 betting show sponsored by Betfair.
Should we just do a betting show on the Masters, which is ridiculous because it starts in an hour and by the time it goes out, it'll be completely out of date.
All I'll say is, if Siwoo Kim wins, there's a chance George and I might be doing next week's show from Jakarta. No.
Jakarta?
Mauritius.
I mean, Jakarta's a really interesting place for your brain to go to there.
You can tell I haven't done many luxury holidays. I couldn't even think of the right destination.
Unless maybe we've flown into Jakarta on our way to Bali.
Record a quick pod in the airport.
Correct.
On the way to, what is it? Bali.
Bali.
The pod sponsored by Betfair is myself, Ali Maxwell, and him, George Ellick, making betting picks ahead of a full slate of EFL action. Only a couple of weeks where that remains the case. We are getting to crunch time, and that's exciting for EFL lovers and observers. And it's interesting when it comes to how we approach our betting at this time of the year. George, for example, is making a pretty penny at the moment, backing teams to beat Forest Green Rovers to nil. A 9-4 next best last week. MK to beat Forest Green to nil. Very good indeed, but not even your best pick of the weekend, George.
Yeah, got Crawley 11-2 to beat Mansfield as well. They won 4-0.
4-1.
4-1. So yeah, good week. Annoyingly, I napped Reading. you napped Lincoln. Reading dominated the game. Lincoln took the lead. Reading equalised. It was a draw. We both, between us, lost 4 points.
It was always going to happen.
It was typical that Reading, probably the better team on balance, but you were the team that squandered the lead. So both of us coming out of it thinking that was a bit unfair.
Both losers in every possible way.
Yeah.
All of my picks lost. My next best was that treble. Borough did the business. MK did the business. Barrow wet the bed. Joe Taylor didn't score for Lincoln. And Matt Clark, big Borough CB, 18-1 anytime, 35-1 first. He did have a header from a corner, which went near the goal, but not in it. So my exceptionally tough form continues, but a good week for you. Plus 4.75 points up. So this weekend, where are we looking for an app?
What has been my means of profit recently, did you say?
Backing Forest Green Rovers opponents to beat them to nil.
My nap this weekend is Wrexham to win to nil at 7-5 against Forest Green Rovers. Forest Green, they're doing it again week on week. They've lost their last two games to nil against decent opposition, and you know they're not being well beaten. It feels like Cotterill's attempts to try and keep them up seems to be just to kind of try and keep the game at 0-0 and not really look to score, but maybe you'll nick one. They had three shots in the game against MK, none of which were on target, of an expected goals of 0.17. They had four shots against Mansfield in midweek, two of which were on target, but again, an XG of just 0.24. I do not understand what happened in that game against Crewe where they won 3-0. I guess it's just the case that sometimes there are anomalous good performances. That's why bad teams don't just lose every game or pick up, you know, some here and there. But when you consider that Wrexham are, you know, 2-5 to win the game at all, but a 7-5 to win it 2-0 up against an opposition who not only aren't scoring but aren't creating any opportunities, they're totally dysfunctional. And yeah, you know, they beat Crewe 3-0, which is an amazing result, and those will happen. There's a chance they come here and they put in a better performance, because this can't be the plan. Like, Steve Cotterill can't be like, right lads, get out there, don't shoot, don't create anything, but just let's try and be solid. That can't be what they're trying to do. So of course it runs a risk. Like, you can never think that week on week things are just going to stay exactly the same. But on the basis of evidence that we've got, especially when you consider that, you know, Wrexham didn't keep many clean sheets to start the season at home, but recently, if we go back to the kind of Christmas time, they beat Newport 2-0, and then in early January beat Wimbledon 2-0, they beat Notts County 1-0, they beat Accrington 4-0, they beat Mansfield 2-0, and in their last home game against Crawley in midweek, they were 4-0 up in the 94th minute before Lolos scored and made it 4-1. So they are much better defensively at home. They also had a 0-0 draw against Harrogate. They're not conceding many goals at all. The last time they conceded two or more goals at home is back in the middle of October. So in my mind here, what you've got is like a Wrexham side who are pretty consistently winning and scoring a lot of goals at home, up against a Forest Green side that aren't creating any opportunities. And yet you're getting like a massive, like the the combination of basically, I think the Forest Green goal line should be so low, and that's not really being factored into the increased price you're getting to win to nil. It feels like a bit of a cheat code at the moment, this. It may not make for the best content, but I'm annoyed because if we'd done a betting show midweek, Mansfield to nil would have been my nap, and we didn't do it. So I'm not feeling too bothered by the fact I'm putting them up again here.
My nap is Preston to beat Norwich on Saturday, 21-10, 3.1. Now, this result, if it does happen, would really throw playoff cats amongst pigeons, because after Preston won in midweek against Huddersfield 4-1, and Norwich drew and Coventry lost and Borough and Hull drew, the situation is that Norwich are in sixth spot on 68 points, 5 points behind them, and with a game in hand, are both Coventry and Preston. So if Preston do beat Norwich this weekend, there'll be 2 points behind them with a game in hand, and that'll be pretty interesting ahead of the last few weeks of the season. So the reasoning for it is clearly my own analysis hasn't been up to that much recently. So I've been borrowing something that's been discussed a lot on NTT20 squad this week. There's a Twitter account called @TWFootball1867, Sheffield Wednesday fan who also works within the game in some form of analysis. He's on NTT20 squad as well, and he's done some really interesting stuff on away fatigue in the Championship. So what that is when your team plays away from home 3 or 4 days after your last match. So generally we're talking about midweek fixtures here after a Saturday game. That's what he calls away fatigued. And looking at the stats, the away win ratio over the season drops by 15% versus the baseline per his analysis. Then there's the next level up, which is double away. That's when you play two away games within 4 days, and probably, understandably, away win percentage drops again. So we're in a week in the Championship where we've had a midweek slate of fixtures in which only one away team won out of the 12. And all of those teams are playing away once again this weekend in the Championship. So all the teams playing away in the Champ this weekend are on a double away. And per @TWFootball1867, that has quite a big impact on results. The worst affected team in the Championship this season have been Norwich, who've played the most away fatigued games in the Championship. And they've played away 12 times so far this season, 3 or 4 days after another game. They've only picked up 3 points in 12 games on that front. They've lost 10 away games all season, and 9 of them have come in games where they've been playing away from home 3 or 4 days after another game. Now, travel presumably makes this a bit harder for Norwich than other teams. Some of their trips are long. This week, for example, they were away in Sheffield, threw away a 2-0 halftime lead. Wednesday came back and they drew 2-2. Now they're away in Preston. This is off the back of a weekend of high-octane emotion, beating Ipswich and all the excitement that came after that. So I think that's enough for me to be interested in the opponents playing against Norwich City. And it just so happens that Preston are pretty good at winning football matches at the moment. In their last 12, they've won 7, drawn 3, lost 2. They've found a formula that's really working, particularly going forward. They've been much better in the last few months. Frokjær Jensen, Keane, Rees has been a brilliant sort of attacking trio. And Osmajec came off the bench to score a hat-trick in midweek, so they've got options for the last 20 minutes if necessary. It's a big game. It's a massive game in the Championship. And I think there's probably maybe a bit too much of an assumption that Norwich, who've been very good in the last 4 months or so, are a lock for sixth spot. And I don't believe that that is the case right now. They've got a lot to prove away from home, even when they're not away fatigued or on a double away. So there's the reasoning. Preston to beat Norwich at 3.1, 21-10 with the Betfair Sportsbooks, my nap.
Really nice that you mentioned away fatigue there. It's almost as if we've scripted this, because my next best is all about away fatigue. Blackburn Rovers go to Leeds on Saturday for a 12:30 kickoff. My next best is Leeds to win to nil at 13-10. Yeah. If I was a Blackburn fan, or if I was John Eustace, I would be absolutely livid by the way this has played out. Where, you know, they've been beaten 5-0 away from home against Bristol City. They are, in my opinion, in massive danger of getting relegated out of the Championship. I think they're 5-1 to get relegated, which I, you know, here's a freebie, but like I think that's still big value for relegation, because their 4 games remaining are Leeds away, Sheffield Wednesday away, Coventry at home, and Leicester away. Like, so you're playing Leeds and Leicester in that, Coventry chasing the playoffs, and then a Sheffield Wednesday side who will see that the target on their back is an opportunity to make that up. So the fact that Leeds played at home on Tuesday night, right, not particularly well in a 0-0 draw against Sunderland, but they played at home on Tuesday night. But Blackburn had to travel from Blackburn down to Bristol, play Bristol City away from home, lose the game 5-0, and then get back up to Blackburn and then go to Leeds again.
Yes.
I know the journey from Blackburn to Leeds is not quite as treacherous as the journey down to Bristol.
Yeah.
But even so, you know,
this explanation of the concept of travel and UK geography,
useful.
Compelling.
Good. But so one of two things would have happened with Blackburn. Either they'd have stayed overnight down in Bristol, which I think is unlikely, which means they're probably going back to, they only would have got back to Blackburn this morning.
Or they've
gone back after the game, in which case they'd have got home like early hours Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. Not that much more than 48 hours before having to go to Elland Road and line up against a team who are far better than them, who've had an extra day's rest. Like, the early kickoff on Saturday is a nightmare. It's a disaster for Blackburn. If I was Blackburn, I'd be saying, well, can we play this on Sunday, please? Because we've had a day more to play and we've gone away from home. In that sense, even though I would expect Leeds to win this anyway, I think that there might be a factor within this game that isn't factored into the price. Obviously, the game before the 5-0 defeat at Bristol City, Blackburn scored 5 against Sunderland. Given that that's their only away win, dating back to the middle of November, where they won 4 away on the trot under Yondell Thomason, I'm pretty happy just to completely ignore that game. Like, it was a great performance, seemingly a flash in the pan given what's happened since. If we take that out, then they went to Bristol City, they didn't score. They got a 0-0 draw at Middlesbrough, which is a good result, but they didn't score. A 0-0 draw away at Cardiff, again, a decent result, but they didn't score. A 2-1 defeat at Swansea, where they scored once. A 2-0 draw against Preston, where they scored twice. But a 1-0 defeat at Birmingham as well. And they failed to score against Huddersfield and against Southampton in December. Like, consistently on the road, they're not picking up very many points. And even in two of the three games that they drew, they didn't score. Up against the Leeds side, who are unquestionably, in my eyes, the best defensive team in the league, with Ampadu and with, although Cooper's obviously come back into the side now, but whoever their defenders are, with Roden there as well, they've been rock solid defensively for the most part of the campaign. So again, they're a short price to win this. Their home form has been obviously tremendous throughout the season. They haven't been beaten away from home at home all season. The Sunderland result was the first time they haven't won at home, dating back to mid-December. They're eminently likely to win this. Since that game in December, they've beaten Ipswich 2-0, Birmingham 2-0, Norwich 2-0, Stoke 2-0 and Millwall 2-0, and they didn't concede against Sunderland in midweek. So again, the massive price boost you're getting from heavy odds on out to 13-10 is to my eyes big value.
Like it. You have me at Blackburn.
Yeah.
My next best is in League Two. It's Tranmere Rovers to beat Newport County at 7-5, 2.4 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Let's start with Newport. Car crash material. Limping over the finish line. Run out of steam and run out of ideas, physically and mentally. Not my words. The words of Newport County manager Graham Coughlin. He's having a terrible time at the moment.
Yeah.
5 defeats in a row for Newport, and he's got no answers whatsoever. There's a Newport fan on the squad who says he looks completely out of ideas in how to sort these performances out. For all he deserves credit for overachieving this season, and that is important context, we're getting hammered every game at the moment and definitely underperforming. Across the three leagues, I would suggest Newport are the ones whose performances suggest that they went to the beach early. Mm. Where
it's not too far to go.
They did achieve 55 points very early, and they were one of the favourites for relegation, and they have overachieved by staying up so comfortably. And Graham Coughlin is very keen to point out that points tally as often as possible. But the numbers are brutal. Over the last 2 months or so, Newport's underlying numbers, the worst in League Two by a mile, they actually suggest that Newport are one expected goal worse than their opponents on average in every game. Over the last 2 months, and that's about as bad as it gets. They have faced 6 shots on target or more in their last 4 games, and in 7 of their last 9, they've only generated 2 shots on target in 3 of their last 9. They are playing Tranmere, who are relatively beachy as well, very hit and miss results-wise, winless in 4, but performances much better than Newport's for sure, much more competitive even in the games that they haven't won. Quite a poor record away from home overall this season, but you may remember that Tranmere lost 9 of their first 11 away. 2 points in their first 11. Since then, their last 10 away from home, 4 wins, 1 draw, 5 defeats, not too bad at all. And I want to be on the side of the team with the much more dangerous and informed players. Apter, of course, but Regan Hendry's been excellent recently. Luke Norris as well is back and fit and playing up front. I think Newport are gone at the game, basically, and I think Tranmere will beat them at 7-5. Don't forget the 90-minute payout with Betfair Sportsbook. This is the Match Odds 90 market with the 90 icon, and it means if the team that you bet on is winning when the clock hits 90, you'll be paid out as a winner. If you're low on confidence, punting-wise, like me at the moment, it's not the worst thing in the world. You can build Akkas with the Match Odds 90 market as well. Make sure you read the T's and C's to understand. That's the Match Odds 90 market on the Betfair Sportsbook. Goal scorer.
Kind of going against what I've been saying to you in the last couple of weeks when it comes to backing Joe Taylor to score hat-tricks and the rest of it, because I'm putting up someone to score any time who scored twice in midweek, having not really scored much this season. But Charlie Kalman scored twice for Wigan at Charlton in midweek. Wigan, a side who should be heading towards the beach. I think their games will probably be quite open for the rest of the season. I think they're going to, doesn't look like they're going to down tools, as we saw in midweek. But in Kalman, you've got a player who played basically 90 minutes for the first time in that game, playing through the middle as a striker, and he's 9-2 to score any time. And given that I'm pretty confident off the back of, well, I did this with Matthew Dennis and he hasn't been seen since, I'm pretty sure he's going to start through the middle here again.
Matthew Dennis had to go into witness protection after you put him up as an anytime goal scorer.
I'm pretty sure Kalman will start here through the middle, having scored twice in midweek. And up against the Lincoln side, who, you know, having been quite hot early on their good run, I'm pretty confident that if Lincoln don't sort themselves out quite soon, that they're going to stop picking up these wins, because there's definitely been a change in their performance level, certainly defensively, where they are being, you know, teams during that amazing run, teams just couldn't get near them. And I was wondering, is Skubala like a genius in terms of how to set up a defence? Recently, that hasn't been the case. And I think when they face a side who just get a bit of luck or a bit who are, you know, clinical on the day, they might come undone. It wouldn't be a surprise if Lincoln did win this, but given that Wigan are, have nothing really to play for, I think we can expect the game to be fairly open. I think Wigan will attack with reckless abandon, as we saw in midweek, and Kelman should be the beneficiary of that. So for him to be 9-2 as the starting striker with two goals under his belt in midweek seems like a price that doesn't really factor in what kind of player he is or where he'll be playing.
Yes, indeedy.
Wilfred.
Wilfred Ndidi is my goal scorer pick.
Good.
6-1 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Ndidi for Leicester against Argyle. This one's the Friday night game, I believe, live on Sky. And I'll be honest, Ndidi's been a bit of an obsession of mine this season when it comes to trying to land goal scorer picks. I believe he's been good value to score basically all season, but I don't have the winning bet slips to show for it.
Well, because with the ones like this, you just got to do it every week. And then if you drop right off and he scores, you're like, well, that's the one that, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So the thing with Ndidi is he's been playing in a new role this season. He was known in his Premier League days as a defensive midfield destroyer type. And this season for Maresca's Leicester, he's been playing as a number eight on the right side, normally with Dewsbury Hall on the left side, but sometimes they switch. One of their most attacking players in possession and getting into a lot of goal scoring areas and getting a lot of goal scoring opportunities, but he has remained basically being priced up like a defensive midfielder for most of the season. In the last few games, he had 10 touches in the box against Norwich. He had 6 touches in the box against Birmingham, only 3 against Millwall. Touches in the box is not the sexiest thing I've ever brought up on the pod, but it's just to try and explain or kind of demonstrate that he really is playing this quite attacking central midfield role, and he will get deep into the opposition area in order to try and score. He's racked up 4.5 expected goals this season, but he's only scored 2. He's not a natural goal scorer, that's very clear, but he has scored 2 in the league, 1 in the cup as well, and his XG per 90 is 0.23 expected goals per 90. And I just can't ignore 6-1 for him to score against an Argyle team who gave up some pretty big chances against QPR in midweek, who I guess are trying to play a bit more like the old Argyle under Schumacher in the post-Foster era, try and open up a little bit and attack teams, which is where they are at their best. I don't see them keeping Leicester at bay. I don't see them being able to like completely boil this game down to nothing. I don't think they're good enough defensively to do that. So I think Ndidi can pick up positions and hopefully will like scuff one in or something at a 6-1. Wilfred Ndidi anytime for Leicester. Long shot.
My long shot is Cardiff to beat Millwall 2-0. 2-0 for me this week.
Wow.
At 6-1. You know, Millwall obviously come into this off the back of that amazing win over Leicester. Again, under Neil Harris, the means by which they score goals, it's just basically set pieces or worldies. And, you know, certainly Ryan Longman's goal against Leicester was, to use the cliche, a goal worthy of winning any game.
That was a great goal.
There still wasn't a great deal within the actual performance to suggest that they're a particularly functional attacking side, albeit that, you know, they're certainly not bad defensively. And they're up against a Cardiff side who showed in midweek to me that they haven't downed tools. You know, they went to Birmingham, a team who really needed a win in that game, and they won it 1-0. Both of these sides, very low margin, like not particularly good going forward, but not necessarily conceding too many goals. We've seen Cardiff beat Huddersfield 2-0 and Bristol City 2-0 in recent weeks as well. I think this game will be 0-0 or 1-0 either way. But especially with Millwall, kind of that win in midweek, making it pretty unlikely they're going to get relegated. It's a bit less pressing for them too. I think Cardiff around 7-2 are a massive price just to win the game, because I don't think there's much between them. But the 6-1 about them to do so without conceding is what appeals most to me.
Yeah, my long shot is Reading to beat Barnsley at Oakwell and BTTS, yes, at 11-2. Reading have done amazingly in the last few months. They started the season, and I kind of forget this, they started the season with 3 wins, 2 draws, and 11 defeats. So they had 11 points after 16 games. There was so much that was affecting their preparation for the season and the start of it. And a lot of it was Selez working out like which players were going to form part of a good Ruben Selez Reading team. And I think almost giving too much deference to some of the senior players at times. Now he's got a group of players that he trusts who are performing well for him. In the last 5 months in League One, so since what, mid-Nov, comfortably top half, even almost playoff chasing form for Reading. And compared to Barnsley, pretty similar numbers really. Barnsley 47 points from 26, Reading 44 points from the last 27. Their underlying numbers very, very similar. Barnsley's unsurprisingly with a better attack, Reading with a much better defence. Since the start of February, if you make it even more sort of recent, Reading 24 points from 15, Barnsley 22 points from 14. So I'm suggesting that these teams are basically neck and neck at this stage, even if the league table suggests that that's not the case. Then there's adding to the fact that Barnsley are in a bizarre spot right now, and neutrals might have missed this, but like, this is bizarre. They had two really disappointing home games back to back. They drew 0-0 with Cheltenham. Then they lost 2-0 to Cambridge. So they failed to score in those two home games, and their home form all season has been pretty poor. They've been amazing away. And after that, the fans, a lot of them just decided Collins, the manager, is not the one. And I guess because they drew blanks against those two teams, the way it's manifested itself is in a chant basically saying that his football is rubbish and terrible to watch and really boring. Now, I find this quite bizarre because Barnsley, the third top scorers in League One this season, they've scored 75 goals this season. XG-wise, I think they're the fourth or fifth best. So, albeit they've run pretty hot at times, they've got a lot of midfielders who score from range, for example. You know, they are, to me, pretty exciting to watch. You know, if I've got an issue with Barnsley under Collins, it's that they're pretty shambolic defensively and very easy to get at.
There's no identity, mate.
So, I find it a bit odd. Half-time against Burton, they were 1-0 down. A lot of anti-Collins chance. They came back and won 3-1. But since then, they've lost both of their games in the last week, away at Charlton and away at Stevenage, both 2-1. And a lot of the fans are just gone, like fully turned. Now, this is a team that's got a lot to play for, that's heading into the playoffs. And, you know, after losing in the playoff final last season, you'd expect them to be gunning for promotion. But it just doesn't feel right at the moment. And I think a Reading team who are, you know, been about as good as Barnsley in the last few months could easily make them pay. So BTTS, because Barnsley are one of the most attacking teams I've ever seen in the flesh, and BTTS has landed in 67% of their home games and 71% of Reading away games. But yeah, I think they've slightly lost their nerve, and I think this impressive Reading side can make the most of that. So there you go.
Last season, Barnsley got 86 points, finished fourth. This season, they're on 74 with 4 games to play. So if they win all 4, they get 86 points, which they probably won't. But given Duff's departure, given the departure of key players as well, like Mads Andersen in particular, like, I don't know.
The Monday pod.
It just upsets me.
Okay, let's finish off with the BTTS sixfold. It's at 21.22 this week. George, what's your three?
My three are starting in the Championship, Preston against Norwich, a game that Preston absolutely have to win, as you've alluded to keep their playoff dreams alive. I think they'll take the game to Norwich. Norwich generally a team who, when they're not playing an Ipswich or a Leicester, albeit they conceded three, they're generally pretty adventurous and quite attacking. And I think the way that Preston will absolutely have to come out swinging, they kind of start the game 1-0 down, I would say, Preston, in some ways, because a draw does them absolutely no favours whatsoever. So it should be pretty open. Then down in League Two, Doncaster Accrington on the beach and pretty vibey, 3-1 defeat. Sorry, 3-1 win over Newport in midweek. Doncaster, the form team in League Two, and they will believe that they can get in the playoffs and they'll have to win to do so again, which should make it a pretty open game. And then finally, the game you've already mentioned, Newport-Tranmere. Newport, another side who defensively are just shambolic at the moment, still scoring a few goals. Tranmere, generally under Adkins, have been attacking as well. So they're my three.
I find you an interesting guy and an interesting mind and interesting brain.
Okay.
I'm really struggling to wrap my head around why a draw doing nothing for Preston would mean that they basically start 1-0 down, which is what you said there.
Because
as someone who's picked Preston as my nap, you can see why I'd not love the sound of that.
Well, no, because they have to win. What I'm saying is more like they come into it and they have to make sure that the status quo doesn't remain the same, because then their season is over.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. So yeah, they still need to score to win.
Right.
1-0 down. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It means the impetus is there for them to win.
And they're playing against away fatigued Reading.
Yeah.
Norwich. Oh my God. Okay.
Come. Deep breath's famously good for podcasts. Oh,
deep breath is just amazing for general health and well-being. Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke. This is a kind of style thing for me. It's at 4-5. Wednesday, I think Danny Rowell has been keen to put across to the wider football world that even though he's been managing a relegation battler and doing a very good job, he wants to make sure that it's considered that he's an attacking manager who could, in theory, manage a team with a better chance of success. And so I think that he approaches games with that mindset, and it's been to their detriment at times, particularly against the bigger teams. They've been picked off. And I broadly think the same with Schumacher and Stoke. I think they're at their best when they at least try and attack, but they haven't been particularly dependable defensively. So BTTS, yes, Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke. Barnsley, Reading, I touched on. Barnsley, one of the most attacking teams I've ever seen in terms of the amount of players they commit forward. And I think Reading can hurt them, but I do expect Barnsley to create and hopefully take a chance or two. And then Walsall Notts, 7 out of 10. BTTS, yes, in Walsall's last 10 league games, and 7 BTTS, yes, in Notts County's last 10 league games as well. So that's the sixfold at 21.22, and it's Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke, Preston, Norwich in the Championship, Barnsley, Reading in League 1, and then in League 2, Walsall, Notts, Newport, Tranmere, and Doncaster against Accrington. George, recap your selections. 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0 and I. Wrexham to nil, 7-5 is my... No, it was bigger than that. No, it was 7-5. Yes, Wrexham to nil is my nap. Leeds to nil, 13-10 is my next best. Charlie Kelman score anytime for Wigan at 9-2 is my goal scorer. And Cardiff to nil at 6-1 is my long shot.
Come on. Preston to beat Norwich, 21-10 with the Betfair Sportsbook, my best bet of the weekend. Tranmere, 7-5 to beat Newport is my next best. Wilfred Ndidi of Leicester is 6-1 anytime, and that's my pick. And my long shot is Reading and BTTS, yes, at 11-2. The sixfold BTTS Acker is Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke, Preston, Norwich, Barnsley, Reading, Walsall, Notts County, Newport, Tranmere, and Doncaster, Accrington. Thank you to Betfair for their continued sponsorship of this podcast. Thank you to you for listening to it. Join us again on Monday. I think we'll be talking about some promotions on the Monday pod. And that's always exciting. Go out. Well.